Okay, so this land, right? It belongs to the Jews now. They conquered it. It did belong to the Canaanites, right? We know that. But now it belongs to the Jews. Well, it belongs to the Lord. He's kind of just allowing them to use it. And there was a condition, right? That, you know, as long as they obey, they get to stay there. That's kind of interesting, right? So Joshua's going to begin to divide up the land. And that's what we're going to see in these chapters. And it ends at 18:10, our week this week. But you're going to continue to see more of it as the chapters go on. But like I said, so most of the major wars have ended. And now these individual tribes, these families, we're going to go and take out the remaining people in their section of land and subdue them. So the major wars, the big wars, we saw they went in as big tribes and they conquered and they devoured and they destroyed everything. But now there's certain little pockets of people still left in this land. And as the land is divided, they're to go out and conquer those people as the Lord has said. So in chapter 15 is where the tribe of Judah is going to receive their allotment. So we're going to go tribe by tribe, basically, through these chapters. And the children of Judah, according to each of their families. So I know that in your chapters, we have like the little map and the geography, I think, to me, is very interesting to see the little pockets of land. And hopefully you guys go over that in your group time. But I'm going to jump down to verse 13 of chapter 15. We're going to talk a little bit about Caleb. Do you guys remember who Caleb was? So he's part of the tribe of Judah, right? And he was promised a piece of property all of his own. And what peace did he want? He wanted the land of the giants, right? He wasn't afraid. He was 85 years old at this time, but he was not afraid, and he wanted to drive them out. He was just like, give me the land of the giants. And so, as we see in verse 14, he went in, and he drove out the three sons of Anak. And we know that, you know, the Anakins, right? That's where Goliath came from. Did you guys know that? So these were the giants. So Caleb went in with total obedience, total dependence, and got a total victory. Total obedience, total dependence, got him a total victory. And I think that's pretty interesting because Caleb drove them out and drove out those giants as an old man. So remember, I don't think there's anything that we cannot do, no matter what our age is. Never an excuse for us. So if you remember those giants, right? The Israelites, the first time they came to the land, they saw those giants and they were like, they're so big and they're going to crush us like little bugs. But Joshua and Caleb, you remember that? They came and they said, you know what? I have faith in God. And they knew how big their God was. And they went in, they said, we're going to conquer them, right? They weren't afraid like the Israelites were. And so I think there's a lesson for us there that, you know, as we look at difficulties in our life and maybe even the people that we see as those giants that are causing those difficulties in our life, those super big things, we can say we have a super big God, right? He's going to take care of everything. He needs to be so big to us that we don't even see the big problems that are in our lives. And he's going to take care of it. It's not so easy all the time, is it? But it's that walk of faith. So we can either walk that walk of faith and we can have joy, or we can walk that walk of being stressed out and frumpy and grumpy about the situations and the people that are put in our life. What do you think Caleb decided to do? He walked that walk of joy, right? Give me that land. Give me those giants. I'm going to take them over. I don't care how old I am. I know how big my God is. He's going to do this. I'm not going to do this. He's going to do this. What a lesson for us. What a lesson for us of faith and walking in total obedience and total dependence to get that total victory from God. And then Caleb does even something really cool, right? So Caleb down in verse 16, he goes and he says like, hey, so anyone who wants to go and attack that city and conquer them, I'll give you my daughter. But I'm pretty sure that this little guy right here, he had his eye on that daughter already, right? Because he was like, yep, I'm doing it. I'm going out. I'm conquering. And he gets his wife through that conquering. But out of that comes something really interesting. And I think it's funny that sometimes I feel like the Lord bounces around in chapters. But we see in verse 18 that his daughter then goes and asks for a blessing. In the midst of all of this, she says to him, "You've given me land, but now give me springs of water." And what did he do? Did he give her like a bucket? One little well? No, he gave her the upper springs and the all of it. More than she asked for. Right? Much more than she asked for. This is a picture of our relationship with God. How many of you have been afraid to ask God for a blessing? Because if you're honest, I have. I've been afraid to ask him to bless me, to bless my family, to bless our ministry, to bless being able to share with you guys. Totally been afraid. And I think there is, you know, there's walking in obedience, there's walking in his ways, and that's all good, but I think we need to not be afraid to ask for those blessings. And this daughter was not afraid, and when she did ask, she got much more than she ever expected, right? And so it says in scripture, what do we know? That it says, even if an earthly father, right, can give good things to her, how much more does our God want to give to us? So why shouldn't we ask? Why shouldn't we go in faith and want more and ask for more? Now, sometimes it's our perspective of what that blessing is that may need to be adjusted, right? So maybe our request is, Lord, bless me with a new Corvette. You know, maybe we shouldn't have that or the tickets that could come along with it. But that doesn't mean that we should be afraid of asking for things that he wants to give to us. And so we need to be those women that walk in obedience and dependence, getting that total victory, but also knowing that our God wants to bless us through all of that, through that walk of faith, through that trusting in him. And then we're going to jump down to verse 63, and it says, the children of Israel could not drive out the Jebusites, and so they dwell there until this day. Very interesting, right? If you look back, this all kind of ties together. So I try to, you know, when I'm studying, I try to tie some things together for you guys. If you look back at chapter 10, think, or even just think about it a little bit. Do you guys remember who was there? There was five kings, right? Five kings that came together to come against them. Do you guys remember that? And do you remember how some of them escaped? Well, here we're going to see where they're still there. They're still in the land. And so this is all part of these little pockets of people that the Israelites are supposed to continue to take out so that they can gain their inheritance of the land. But I want you guys to hold a thought as we continue on, that this verse right here says they could not drive them out. Okay? So hold that thought as we go through this. They could not. Because if I was in a title, I was thinking about this on the way here tonight, I never title anything, but if I did title this, I think I would have titled it, The Difference Between Could Not and Did Not. So hold on to could not, okay? So in this verse, they could not drive them out. Now we're going to move on and we're going to see the allotment that was given to Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, and mainly his sons, right? Manasseh and Ephraim. And so it talks about the territory that was given to the tribe of Ephraim. And if we jump down to verse 10 in chapter 16, because we're going to jump past all those cities, remember all those different lands and everything that they're given. If we jump down, you're going to see that they did not drive them out. They did not drive out the Canaanites in Gezer. So what did I say to hold on to? Could not. But here we're seeing that they did not. Is there a difference between those two? I think there's a very drastic difference between those two. You know, I think the Lord paints kind of a picture here that they didn't even try. You know, the Lord told them what? We talked about that a little bit. The Lord told them what? To drive them out, right? To utterly destroy them all, to utterly wipe them out, do not make deals with them. That was the stuff that we've seen there in the past chapters, right? As we studied, he kept telling them that. Don't make those deals. And Joshua did make the deal, right? And then the kings came against him. And we see all that stuff flowing through there. They weren't supposed to do that. But instead, you know, they, as they're here, it wasn't about that they couldn't drive them out at this point. They did not drive them out because they left them there and they used them and they made them slaves, right? And they were using them for their benefit. Interesting, if we look at the book of Judges, you'll see how much all these little pockets of people that were left become a thorn in the side of the Israelites. Of course, we're not going to go there, but, you know, so these people, as they did not drive them out, they continued to justify their sin. They justified their disobedience. What happens anytime we justify our sin? Pretty much will usually come back to bite us, won't it? Justifying our sin and justifying our disobedience is not a way to walk with the Lord in that total dependence, total obedience, and total victory. Okay, so let's jump to Joshua 17, and we see the allotment for the tribe of Manasseh. So far we've seen Caleb who did take them out, right? We saw Judah who couldn't take them out, and Ephraim who didn't take them out. So if we go and we jump past all the lands and everything, we go down to verse 12. We see that the children of Manasseh could not drive out the Canaanites from the land. And then later they did not drive them out and had them work as slaves. So again, they could have, but they chose not to. They chose to leave them there and to, again, work them as slaves. But the Canaanites, right? It says the Canaanites were determined to stay there. They were determined to stay there, and then they chose not to. And so guess what? Here we are again in a place of disobedience to the Lord, a place of not obeying what God had told them to do. And even right now, we see the conflict between that. In today's world, we see the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis, or the Jews, because they were left there. There is lasting effects often to our disobedience. There's often lasting effects to that. Not that our God isn't good, not that he is a God of punishment in any way, but there are times that our decisions, it's just going to happen. There's going to be consequences to it that sometimes go on for generations. And that's what we're seeing here. Okay, and then even better yet, verse 14, they come to Joshua complaining, right? Now, Joshua is part of this tribe. And so they come and they're complaining and they're like, you know, we really didn't receive enough land. I mean, we should get more land. Like, we need more. And they're whining and complaining. So Joshua's like, okay, fine. You know what? Why don't you go take that hill country over there? Were they happy with that? No, they weren't happy with that. They're like, no, we don't want, what? That's too hard. No. We don't want to take that hill country. We don't want to have to work that hard for it. They have chariots of iron. No. And Joshua said to them, like a very good parent would say to them, well, you asked for it, now you're going to do it, right? And he said, you know what, you will go and you will take that land. He really wasn't giving them a choice. So Caleb did it, Judah couldn't, Ephraim did not, and neither did Manasseh. What in the world happened to these mighty warriors? They just got done with a gigantic military campaign. That was absolutely amazing. Remember? The center of the land, the southern part of the land, the northern part of the land. And now all they got to do is take these little allotments of people on the land that is their inheritance. There's no buying, you know, two acres in, you know, Mission Viejo for $1 million. It was their inheritance, given to them by God. And they're not even able to take care of a few stragglers. They're not able to mop up what God was asking them to finish off and to do, to be in complete and total obedience and dependence upon him. Don't you find that interesting? But at the same time, don't you find that to be sometimes us? As I looked at this in a closer walk, and I'm guilty as everyone is about it, I looked at our Christian life. Just like their inheritance was a free gift, the land that they were giving was a free gift, right? What's our free gift? salvation, right? That is a complete and utterly, absolutely, 1,000% free gift to us. And we don't have to do anything for it, just like their land was. But the Christian life is work at times. There may be a place in your life where the Lord says, go take that hill country. That's too hard. That's too hard to do. I can't work that hard as a Christian. You know, it says in Scripture that the Lord says now we're to work out our salvation. And not that works defines who we are, but there is a place we're not just going to float through life as Christians. That's not the way it works. We got to walk in obedience. We got to walk in dependence. We got to walk in those victories that God gives us. You know, you're not going to get a lot out of the Bible by just kind of like osmosis. It's not going to happen, right? Anybody ever get anything like that by just putting your head down on a Bible and like it just kind of sucks up into your cells? No, only grease, you know, on my face. We have to open the pages of that Bible, don't we? We got to open the pages. We have to read it. We have to know it. We have to obey it. That's what Caleb did. Caleb obeyed it. He had complete dependence on the Lord. I think that there is an effort to live a Christian life, and we forget that at times. And we think it gets too hard. And that's where they kind of got to. You know, there's a positional sanctification. So that's where God says, I have set you apart. I've set you apart. That's that positional sanctification. But there's also a process of sanctification for us where we are being changed day by day by day into the image of Christ. And how do we do that? We have to do that by walking it out. We have to do that by opening our Bible. And that requires us to make choices, right? And to be disciplined. Now, they made the choice to not do the things that they were supposed to do. Now, some of them couldn't, but some of them didn't, right? And there's a big difference. There's places in our life where we can't, where God stops it and says, don't worry about this right now. But there's places in our life where we don't, when God has told us do, and we don't do it. Do you have a quiet time with the Lord? Do you have a devotion time? Now, I know all of you, everyone always says, well, you got to get up early. And then people are, I'm not an early morning person. Yeah, I'm pretty sure God knows who you are. I'm pretty sure God knows whether or not you're a morning person or an afternoon person or an evening person. No matter what it is, there is no excuse for not having that time with him sometime in a 24-hour period. Right? It takes effort in our life to make those decisions. Okay, so we've seen, and you guys know, right? What ministry do I do? Military ministry, right? So we've seen these great military campaigns, right? They've all done all of this stuff, and they were warriors, right? And we have to be those warriors. How do we do that? Do we do that by just like, oh, one day, you know, you're just going to get up, and you're just going to like, okay, going to go fight? No. What does our Marine Corps do? They train. Every day. What's our army do? They train every day. And that's what we have to do. We have to train because there will be a battle, girls. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. You will have a battle in your life. You may have very many battles in your life, but no doubt you will come across something that you need to be trained and ready and prepped for. And that is the only way we're going to see the victories, as Caleb did, that total obedience, that total dependence for that total victory. So these guys, huge military campaign, all these victories, and what happens to them? They couldn't drive them out? They didn't drive them out? Why? Maybe got lazy? They began to compromise? So maybe through that laziness and that compromise, they decided to just live with this particular difficulty instead of conquering it. You know what? We're just going to live with those people. I mean, we're going to make them slaves, but we're going to live with them, even though God told us not to. even though God warned us not to, even God said there's going to be consequences if you do that, you know what? It's too much work. It's too much work to get up and fight. It's too much work to get ready for battle. So what? Instead of committing it to the Lord, instead of trusting their God, before you know it, you got people and you got things that become thorns in your side, consequences that last generations. And it definitely can happen to you and me, can't it? You know, it's funny. Being in ministry, it is not lacking for battles, I'll tell you that much. I was sharing with a young girl who got married and is now part of Crew, which used to be Campus Crusade for Christ. But Crew is like their military side. So they didn't want to be, Crew is, I guess, kind of their whole name. So they didn't want to be just Campus Crusade for Christ. So they changed their name. And she married in. She's young, and her husband's like full-time ministry. And now her husband's like, well, I think you should be full-time ministry. And she just wants to, you know, jump in and have everything go smoothly. I'm like, honey, you know there's going to be battles, right? And I shared with her a little bit about the 13 years that John and I have walked through and our family has walked through. But you know what? There's great victory as we trust God. It's when we get weary. It's when we get lazy. It's when we just need a vacation from this Christian life. Anybody thought that? Just need a vacation from it. I'm kind of done with the Christian thing. I know we have. About 3 years ago, John and I were going through something, and there was one night that I can particularly say we both lay down on the bed, and I just said, I'm done. I'm done. I want out. I'm so done. I can't handle this anymore. I can't handle the attack on our kids. I can't handle the attack on us. I'm done. I want out. Just take me out. And John's like, yep, I'm done too. I want out too. We were so weary, but we weren't looking at our God. We were looking at the giant. We were looking at the battle in front of us. You know, there is no vacation from Christian life. You are a Christian, and that is it. That's it. You're a Christian. You are God's chosen one now. You are God's daughter, and he is there for you, but you got to walk it out. You got to do the daily training. You have to be ready for battle. Sometimes you got to get ready for battle, and then he just takes care of all of it. You just stand there and watch. But you have to do it. We don't get to put God on hold for a while and just veg. We don't get that. I'm sorry if I'm breaking that to you for the first time tonight. But we don't get to do that as Christians. I know we want to. Sometimes we just want to turn on the TV and just veg out. And that's okay. But, you know, Christian life, we don't get to take a walk away from God. We don't get to just put him off to the side and not do the Christian thing. And I think that if we do that, that we will be taken out of battle. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of battles, and I've come through a lot of battles, and I've watched my God be super big in battles, and I don't think I would have wanted to miss any of those battles. Isn't that crazy? I don't think I would have wanted to miss them. I don't think I wouldn't have not wanted to be ready for them, because as hard as they were, I got to see a God that when I gave total obedience and total dependence to you, had a really big total victory on my behalf. And so where does it begin when we start to slide away from that? A little compromise? A little bit of sin? And then you think, well, you know what? I can live with that. It's just one drink. You know what? It's just one drink. It's not a big deal. It's just one lie. It's just one hiding thing from my husband. And with that one little thing, Satan can take you so far off the battle line, so out of your training. It's incredible. Because he just keeps taking you to more and to more and to more. And so we have to stay engaged. We have to stay engaged in walking with the Lord, in studying his word, in being ready for battle, and being women who are like, I will be in total obedience to you, Lord. I will be in total dependence to you. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but you guys can look it up later. Basically, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, do all that you do in love, okay? So, let me ask a question. Did you work at being a sinner? Did you invest a lot of money into it? I bet you some of them did. Some of you guys did. Bet you a lot. Some of you invested a lot of money into being a sinner. Did you invest a lot of time into being a sinner? Because I know I did. I literally spent my life just thinking about what was the next bad thing I was going to do. But funny thing is, sinning comes pretty naturally to us, doesn't it? I mean, if we're being totally honest, sinning comes pretty naturally. And in the world, it looks really good, doesn't it? But sometimes to be a good sinner, you got to really work at it. Same thing with being a Christian. That verse right there in 1 Corinthians 16:13 is not a passive verse in any way. It's very active. It says to watch. What does that mean? It means that we have to open our eyes. We have to be watching. We have to be diligent. Diligent. We need to be watching. Watching out for our kids, for our husbands, for our friends. We need to be that person who has our eyes on the Lord and are trusting God to protect us. But also at the same time, watching for the attacks of the enemy and the temptations he tries to slip under our door. Because they're there, aren't they? The temptations to get angry. The temptations to criticize. The temptations to go out with a friend who's not a Christian and they're having a drink at dinner, so, you know, why not you too? I was in Ohio this last weekend, and I think I've told you guys I'm adopted. So I had gone up to see my biological family, and my biological half-brother, so all the legal terms of it, came out to see me, and we were discussing the very first time that he met me. It took him a long time to want to meet me. He did not want to meet me in any way, shape, or form. And so he was sharing with me that he was really angry at me that night. We had met at a restaurant. My biological half-sister, Becca, and then Russ were there, and I came and met them at a restaurant. This was like quite a few years ago, 15, maybe 13 years ago. And he was saying how I was really angry with you. And I said, and I had no idea why. And I realized because him and Becca starts talking about it, they were mad because I wouldn't drink. They had met me at a brewery. They had me go to this restaurant that was like a brewery or brew house or something like that. And they were, both of them were drinking. And I said, oh no, it's okay. I'll just have a soda or whatever. I don't remember even what I drank. I wasn't feeling good that night. But they were both mad that I wasn't drinking. And I said, well, they said, oh yeah, you would told us, like, well, you don't drink and you don't do this because you don't want you to be, you want to be an example for your kids. And I was just like, really, you guys were mad at me for that? But right, that temptation, that thing that we have to watch out for, we have to stand our ground no matter what it takes, no matter who's going to get mad at us. Then it says to stand fast in the faith. What does that mean? It means I'm going to understand the doctrines of Scripture. Means I'm going to open up that word of God. I'm going to walk my talk. I'm going to understand what the word of God says, Old Testament, New Testament, and then I'm going to take it, I'm going to apply it to my life, and then I'm going to walk like that. It doesn't mean that I get to read it, go to Bible study, and think that's all grand and fine and dandy, and that's for somebody else, and then go out the door and walk like somebody else. That's not what that means. It means we have to stand fast in the faith. We have to put to practice the things God is showing us in the pages of Scripture, and we are not to be passive. Then it says to be brave. It means we're going to conduct ourselves without wavering, without the pressure of anything else. Without wavering, we're going to not allow the enemy to cause us to run and hide, and we aren't going to cave into the pressures that are in this world. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? Especially when it comes to family. Family who don't understand why you're a Christian and why you don't cuss and why you don't drink and why you think you're all prim and proper and so much better than them. And it's not about that, is it? It's about walking rightly with God. It's about being brave and doing those things that are difficult when we go out there in the world. And then it says, be strong. So if we're not watching, if we're not standing fast in the faith, and we're not being brave, will you ever be strong? No, you won't. Because all of those things then fold up into being strong, and that strength is a byproduct of all these other disciplines in our life. So if you think that you're not going to do those other things, and then you're going to get into a situation, and the enemy is just going to come full force at you, and you're going to be strong enough to withstand that, you are not going to be. It will not happen. Then he says that we're to do it all in love. What? So I'm going to watch, and I'm going to understand what it says in scriptures, and I'm going to trust him, and my strength is going to be in the Lord. And then with this strength, I'm going to be loving. Pretty good, right? So if we go back to Joshua, think about what we just read. So they came to him. They're like, we need more land, and we'll go take the hill country. Well, we don't really want to do that. There are like too many people up there, and they have chariots of iron. Do you think he loved the tribe of Manasseh and Ephraim? I think he did. I think he knew that they could do it. I think he knew that they were a strong people and that they needed to get that out there and just get it done. So from me to you, sometimes we need a kick in the pants, don't we? So I'm asking you tonight, don't look at the obstacles that are before you. Don't look at them. Look at the great God you serve. Be active in the battle. Don't be afraid. Don't run and hide from the things that come across your path. Don't cave in to what the world wants of you or even other Christians want of you. When you know God has directed your path, you stay on that path no matter what comes around you. And that's a difficult thing. Yeah, we're going to have victories and we're going to suffer defeats. We're going to have both. It's going to happen. That is what it is all about. But all of that is in the plan of God for our life. So sometimes we need the exhortation like what we're going to see, what we see here in chapter 17. Yeah, they have chariots, but be optimistic, not pessimistic. Don't be like, it's never going to happen. They're way too big for us. They have chariots and I don't. Because I'm pretty sure your God's bigger than those chariots. You know, Joshua is saying to them, if God is on your side, look at that glass as half full. Get out there and do it. Don't be lazy. Don't be undisciplined. Continue to be a mighty, valiant Christian. And if we continue to do that, we will be strong, but not strong in our power, right? Whose power will we be strong in? Who's his, right? Not our power, but in his power. So, as Abe and Aaron come back up and we start to worship and you guys are praying, you know what? If you've been a little bit lazy in your devotions, if you haven't been faithful in that place, if you've been starting to compromise, and this one is a big one for me lately. I've had some stuff with my family. I've had some friends around me where a little bit of compromise, a little bit of listening to someone else instead of listening to the Lord has caused such huge repercussion effects in our life and their life. and it grieves my heart. If you have any little bit of compromise in your life right now, give it to the Lord tonight. Don't justify that sin. Don't defend it. Don't rely on yesterday's victory. And don't settle for yesterday's victory when you can have a victory today in whatever's going on in your life today. Don't look back and think about, oh, well, I had a victory then. No, have a victory today in God. So if you are in any of these places, I highly encourage you just to kind of put the brakes on tonight and ask the Lord to do that work in your heart. Ask him to get you back on track. Ask him to show you that devotion time, that place where you're to dig into scripture and to watch and to be standing fast in the faith. So that when he says go out to that hill country and you take those people, whether they have chariots of iron or not, you'd be like, yep, that's me. I'm totally right there with you, God. Because I want that victory. Be in that place, ladies. Because those battles, as hard as they are so great. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are a super, super, super big God. Lord, we thank you that you have everything held in your hands, Lord, and you know the plan for us. Lord, I pray that we would be these women that, Lord, walk in total obedience and total dependence on you, that we would see total victory in our life. Lord, if any of us are here tonight, Lord, and we're in that place of just, Lord, needing to put the brakes on something, I pray, Lord, that you would just dig into our hearts tonight, Lord. Don't allow us to shut the doors on that. Don't allow us to push you away. Don't allow us to say, no, not tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just be a gentleman as you always are, but go in and do the work and dig deep, Lord. Pray that we would be women that watch and stand fast and are brave so that we can be strong in your love as we walk through life, Lord. So we thank you for tonight. We ask for you to continue to work in our hearts and make us into the women that you desire for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.